from the DePauw University's School of Music in Greencastle, Indiana.
Good evening and welcome to Music for Life, music from DePauw. This week, we welcome new student producers Katie Sherman and Burke Stanton to the Music for Life staff and get a peek inside life at Saturday Night Live. We help School of Music Admissions Director Patrick Evans prepare for a trip to an exotic paradise. We continue our preview of the exciting roster of our guest artist series, including Chanticleer and Bobby McFerrin. And Professor Eric Edberg joins me to talk about the upcoming residency and concert of the innovative and engaging Fifth House Ensemble. There are lots of exciting things going on in the DePauw School of Music, and we're glad you could join us for Music for Life. There are several new student producers joining us this semester for Music for Life, and one of them is in the studio here to chat about several things. Welcome, Katie Sherman.
Thank you.
So tell us about yourself, Katie. What's your major?
I'm a percussionist. I'm a senior Bachelor of Musical Arts major with an emphasis in business.
You had a pretty interesting semester abroad, or a semester away, I should say, right?
Yes.
You were in New York.
Yes, I was. I was interning in the music department at Saturday Night Live.
Now that's cool. How'd you land that gig?
Well, I did it through a program that DePauw is affiliated with called the New York Arts Program. So I had sent in my application for that, got accepted, and then...
And did you know you were going to Saturday Night Live?
I hoped. I know that they had interns in the past, and even some from DePauw, too.
Right.
So I kind of tweaked my resume towards that and made a cover letter, and then my advisor had me send my resume to Lenny Pickett, the saxophonist in their house band, and we just chatted over email, then he called me, and then I got it somehow.
Now see, that's what happens, is a DePauw student lands a gig like that, and then they are so impressive that future DePauw students have a leg up. So I'm sure your good work this year will help somebody next year land this position as well. So what kind of cool things did you do?
I did a lot of things. I got to work on paperwork, which was actually kind of interesting. I got to learn how it works to get people paid. I got to learn about the different types of corporations. There are LLCs mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So that was pretty interesting. That was just more of the boring things. And on days when we had dress rehearsal and live show or sound check, I actually got to go down with the security guard and escort the guest musicians up to their rooms and tell them what was going on, make sure they knew where everything was, they had everything they needed, and that they would get set on stage in time, which was a huge deal.
It could get
pretty stressful at times.
Live TV, we forget what that's like these days. Used to be it was all live, but
yeah.
Saturday Night Live is about it anymore.
It's actually live.
And what pressure.
Yeah.
So who did you get to meet?
I got to meet so many amazing people. First of all, the house band is just incredible.
Yeah, what great musicians.
Yeah, Lenny Pickett, Leon Pendarvis, Sean Pelton, one of my drummer idols. It was incredible. They were great. And then as far as celebrities go, the Lumineers of Monsters and Men, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, Jay-Z was there, Justin Timberlake, Justin Bieber.
Wow.
A whole bunch of people. It was great.
And you were there for an entire semester?
Yes, I was there from January to May.
Wow. And how'd you like living in New York?
It was great. It was a really nice change of pace from Greencastle.
And you know what's funny for me, going to New York now after having moved to Greencastle? It's noisy.
It is.
You know, that's the thing I noticed. It's funny, I never noticed that before. But now when I go to New York, I'm like, man, this city is loud.
It really is. I was fortunate to have a room on the inside of the apartment, not on the street side. So that was nice. But it was definitely pretty noisy at night still.
Yeah, it's really surprising. It never really got to me before. But once you live in the quiet, bucolic Greencastle, and then you go back to the Big Apple, it's a whole different scenario.
Yeah. And I'm from Hawaii, too, so it was a completely different change of pace of life.
Yeah, right. You feel like you've been in three different countries rather
pretty
than...
Pretty much, yeah.
From Hawaii to Indiana, from Indiana to New York, that's about as far apart as you can get and be in the same country.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm glad you're joining us on the staff for Music for Life, and it sounds like you had a fantastic semester in New York, and I'm sure you made us look good so that when someone else applies, they're going to go, oh, yeah, we had DePauw students before. Thanks for coming in to chat about it.
Thank you.
In our first season of Music for Life, we chatted with one of our students about their invitation to
audition for Chanticleer. Chanticleer is America's most famous a cappella ensemble. It's an all-male a cappella vocal group that performs beautifully about 500 years worth of music, it seems. They are equally at home doing Broadway standards, doing Renaissance motets, doing madrigals, doing hymns, spirituals, the American Songbook. They feel very comfortable performing a wide variety of music. They have a new video out now that's really getting a lot of attention that really blurs that line even further. It comes off almost as an MTV video. And what's interesting about it, the entire video was shot on an iPhone. And if you go to our website, or their website, either one, you can see this video. But these folks are remarkably talented musicians, and they hear hundreds, if not thousands, of auditions each year to select the few that are in this group, America's most famous a cappella group. And we are very fortunate to have them coming to DePauw. They will be gracing our stage on Saturday, April 12th at a special start time, 8 p.m. I encourage you to Google them, find them on our website, on their website. This is phenomenal music. They have dozens of CDs available, and this is going to be a special night here in the Green Center.
From their CD, The Siren's Call, we just heard Chanticleer performing Quand Avrà Fine Amore by Andrea Gabrielli. Now let's listen to Chanticleer perform Maurice Durufle's motet Ubi Caritas from their CD Love Story. From the Producer's Vault, here's piano professor Claude Zimmerman from his recital of Wednesday, September 4th, 2013, performing César Franck's Prelude, Fugue, and Variation for Organ, transcribed by Harold Bauer and Ignaz Friedman. Thank you. Once again, that was piano professor Claude Zimmerman from his recital of Wednesday, September 4th, 2013, in our very own Thompson Recital Hall, performing César Franck's Prelude, Fugue, and Variation for Organ, transcribed by Harold Bauer and Ignaz Friedman. On Thursday, September 12th at 7:30 p.m., the sibling duo of Won Min and Won Ji Kim will present a concert in Thompson Recital Hall as part of our faculty series. Violinist Won Ji Kim, a native of Seoul, South Korea, has won national and international competitions and appeared as soloist with the Seoul Symphony Orchestra, the Bern Symphony Orchestra, the Zurich Chamber Orchestra, the Hungarian National Chamber Orchestra, and the Moscow Radio Symphony Orchestra. She's taught in Vienna and Bern, and since 2003 has been on the faculty at the Mozarteum Salzburg. Won Min Kim is a member of our piano faculty here at the DePauw School of Music and one of our staff accompanists. She has performed numerous times with members of the International Sejong Soloists, regularly collaborates with members of the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra, and serves as artist faculty with the Green Mountain Chamber Music Festival. Ms. Kim has frequently appeared on television and radio broadcasts, and with Won Ji has recorded for the Korean Broadcast System CD label. The sisters Kim will be performing sonatas by Beethoven, Ravel, and Grieg, and Bartok's First Rhapsody. Again, this event is set for this Thursday, September 12th, at 7:30 p.m. in Thompson Recital Hall here on campus. Here are violinist Won Ji Kim and pianist Won Min Kim performing the third movement, Simchas Torah, Rejoicing, from Baal Shem, Three Pictures of Hasidic Life, by Ernest Bloch. Thank you.
Hi, this is Canadian Brass, and you're listening to Music for Life.
Last week, we introduced you to our new music admissions director, Patrick Evans. And, of course, one of our favorite things to do here at DePauw, especially with new people, is to banish them to a desert island with a defective iPod. And so Patrick's an interesting target for this assignment because not only is he an admissions person, but he's also been a tenured professor and a DMA in music. And so even though he just got here, we're already sending him off to a desert island and his iPod doesn't work. Welcome, Patrick, for the few seconds you're here before we ship you off.
Glad to be here. No one told me this was part of the hazing and the interview process.
And so we said hazing didn't take place. And so you're off to a desert island. You got 5 minutes. That's all you're going to hear. What's it going to be?
When I was first asked about this, I didn't hear the 5 minutes part, so I was prepared to bring in 432 hours of the music of Stephen Sondheim.
There you go. But I would join you on the
exactly,
island for that. Yes. That would be great.
It would be a great party, I think. I think it would be a big island.
Yes,
actually.
It would be. There'd be a lot of folks flying in.
But then with the 5 minute limit, I thought, no word from Tom and True Love's aria from The Rake's Progress, Stravinsky's opera, 1952, neoclassicism at its height. I love the whole opera because it's sort of already interdisciplinary because it came from Stravinsky seeing these woodcuts of Hogarth, which tell this allegorical story of Tom Rakewell, a country fellow, who in the opera, of course, is a tenor because he's the romantic lead, and he's always played by a blonde. And Anne, his true love, so it's an allegory, so all of the names describe the people, and Anne lives with her father, who has misgivings about her marrying Tom and tries to find Tom a job, and Tom says, no, I'm going to go and seek my fortune in London, in the big city. Suddenly, this devil character named Nick Shadow, obviously a baritone, appears and tempts Tom with all sorts of money and debauchery in London, and so they set out, and Anne, left behind, begins to realize that her true love has been betrayed. So then there's this aria, and sopranos love this aria because it has everything.
No word from Tom. Has love no voice? Can love not keep a playtime vow in cities? Fades it as the rose cut for a rich
So the libretto is by Auden and Kallman, and she says, forgot, but to weep is not enough. He needs my help. Love hears, love knows, love answers him across the silent miles and goes. This really amazing text with this incredible music, and wonderful singers have sung this. The recording that I am thinking of is Dawn Upshaw, who is one of the contemporary
I have always said that Dawn Upshaw is the voice you hear when you die and go.
I believe it. She's so versatile and, you know, she sings everything.
Right.
So the part that we'll hear is at some point she's trying to decide, can I abandon my father to go and help someone who has betrayed me? And she's trying to make that choice. And so there's a little section that's a prayer. My father, can I desert him and his devotion for a love who has deserted me? And then she decides, no, my father has strength of purpose, while Tom is weak and needs the comfort of a helping hand. Oh God, protect dear Tom, support my father, and strengthen my resolve. And the strengthen my resolve ends up on a very low note for a soprano with a big crescendo, and there's a brass crescendo on it too, and it just forges right into the cabaletta. And in the cabaletta, she says, I go to him, love cannot falter. Cannot desert, though it be shunned or be forgotten, though it be hurt. If love be love, it will not alter. Which I just think is fantastic. And I think it also points back to Shakespeare, Sonnet 116. Mm-hmm. Love is not love, which alters when it alteration finds. So there's just so many things that come together in this. And maybe I took the deserted island thing too literally, but I'm also thinking, so number one, this would lift my spirits. Mm-hmm. Number two, it is someone who is seeking out someone in trouble who needs to be rescued.
Right.
So it would also make me think, okay, there's of my 2,400 Facebook friends, surely someone will notice I haven't posted in the last 4 hours and come.
Well, we didn't say there was a Wi-Fi on there.
I also think, I don't know if anyone else has chosen something when they've done this that actually has the word desert in it, deserted. So that's all of that. So this is why I love this.
And people might be shocked when they hear this. This was written by Igor Stravinsky.
Absolutely. And it's, again, the height of neoclassicism. It's reduced forces. Mm-hmm. It has Stravinsky's amazing writing, especially for winds, especially for double reeds, that, you know, you just hear that and you know it's Stravinsky. And the vocal writing is stunning, although if you're just having a cursory listen, you would think it was Mozart.
Right, right.
One of the other reasons I love this is, you know, much of art and literature and music and the creative endeavor has to do with romantic love between two people. But I also think love cannot falter. It cannot desert, though it be shunned, be forgotten, be hurt. If love be love, it will not alter. Mm-hmm. I think also speaks to the creative process as a love of all of humanity, the creative process as an act of love for all of humanity, for all of creation. Mm-hmm. So this is a piece I also really believe in.
Yeah. Well, it's been attributed to many people, but talking about music is like dancing about architecture. So let's send you off to your island and let's hear this exquisite piece. Thanks for coming.
Great.
Welcome another new student producer to the Music for Life staff. This is Burke Stanton. Welcome.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Burke.
Well, I'm a sophomore in the School of Music. I play the double bass. I also have another major. I'm planning doing the 5-year dual degree.
And what's your other major?
I haven't decided officially yet. I'm thinking about English literature or philosophy right now.
Very cool. And you're from the East Coast, correct?
That's correct. I'm from Westminster, Maryland.
So I understand for your summer you were involved as a camp counselor.
That's correct. I was at a local liberal arts college in Westminster called McDaniel, and they have a band camp. And I worked with the wind ensembles and with the jazz bands and just kind of made sure the kids were all having a good experience.
Yeah, all of our folks do great things over the summer. They've got all kinds of interesting opportunities, and working as a camp counselor in a music camp is certainly a great way to spend one summer. So what brings you to the Music for Life staff? What excites you about this new position?
Well, I'm really excited about all the great things that are going on at DePauw right now. There were a lot of great artists last year, and there are a lot of great ones coming this year, too. I'm working with the Fifth House Ensemble with Professor Ed Berg, and I thought that Music for Life would be a great place to really interact with all of those new opportunities, really see what's going on, and help be the voice for the School of Music and letting the broader community know what we're doing here.
Right. You know, we close the opening of every show with there are lots of exciting things happening in the School of Music. Boy, that is so true. I mean, there's never a shortage of things to talk about on the show, and we're glad we've lured you out of Maryland and brought you here to Indiana, and we look forward to great things, and welcome to the staff.
Thank you.
Professor Eric Edberg is joining me in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Professor Edberg is our cello professor, but he also has been teaching entrepreneurship and like-minded courses for quite some time. And he's here to chat with me about this really innovative group we have coming here, both as artists in residence and as the final performance on our guest artist series. And that is the Fifth House Ensemble. These folks are pretty imaginative.
They sure are. And I think they're almost a paradigm example of young musicians doing all sorts of creative and imaginative things to reach out to new audiences and bring them in. And we're especially excited that they're going to be spending the entire academic year working not only with the School of Music faculty and musicians, but also with people from other departments, from the art department, theater department, video, and with people
and
in the community.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Most importantly, people from the agricultural community, farmers. And as a matter of fact, I keep hearing about more and more farmers who are excited about this. They want to work with as many local folk musicians as possible, all putting together a big multimedia interdisciplinary program with storytelling and video and photographs. The DePauw Symphony Orchestra, local musicians, and this the wonderful artistry of the Fifth House players themselves that's going to be called Harvest and presented on Mother's Day in May.
Right, and it kicks off in the most unusual way. Here we are bringing classical musicians as part of our Artists in Residence and Guest Artist series, and their first gig is on the back of a hay wagon at the farmer's market.
That's right.
Yeah, so what a great way to kick it off. Tell us a little bit about that weekend.
Well, I mean, it's going to be a really excited weekend. We have them doing 3 workshops, which are all open to the public, and we have a new class of students, actually, 12 students who are going to be working directly with Fifth House to learn one of their educational programs called Music Can Tell the Story. But on the first day that they're here, on Friday, they're going to do a workshop for the entire School of Music and a special convocation called Putting Your Audience Center Stage. And this workshop is about actually going out and talking with potential audience members. Their description says the workshop teaches the basic of psychographic audience analysis through hands-on interactive activities and case studies. Understanding audiences allows artists to put the public at the center of not only their marketing efforts, but also the program design itself.
Right.
So when we're in this era where we're not looking to just get the people who come to traditional classical concerts to come more often or to give more money, when we're actually looking to engage new audiences, Fifth House is one of the ensembles that's leading the way, and what they're talking about is doing what businesses do. Go and talk to your potential customers, or in this case, our potential audiences. So I think that's going to be really exciting.
Yeah, and they're doing really innovative things in trying to develop the audience, and that's my whole point. You know, I remember the first time I heard Beethoven, I thought, where has this music been my whole life? You know, I mean, I was late coming to it, and so for me, it was fascinating. And to me, I think that once, there's a whole world of people that once they knew what classical music really was, he'd be here all the time.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely agree, because one of the things I've loved in my now 25-year career at DePauw, where I've
God, are you that old?
Yes, it's hard to believe. It's introducing the non-music students to classical music, who often will come in thinking it's boring or stuffy, and then you discover that it is some of the most dramatic and moving and transcendent and sometimes even transformative
experience that you can have. Night, you know?
Claude Zimmer's recital was just extraordinary.
People just bowled over by that.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, the thing that's amazing about Claude is if you close your eyes, it's like a George Lucas or Steven Spielberg film, you know, like Indiana Jones. I mean, the range and the emotion, and you look at Claude, and he's the calmest looking. If you were looking at the video with the sound off, you would never imagine that there was this big explosion. But yeah, that's the thing, that this is music that puts us in touch with the essence of our humanity.
Right.
And can be cathartic and can be consoling. And so anything that we can do to bring people in to be able to participate in this experience is a win-win for everybody.
Absolutely. And I think Fifth House is going to bring a whole new world of audiences to DePauw. And, you know, when I first began speaking to them about it, I said, look, we'll do whatever you think you're going to do. But the one caveat is we have to bring in farming and the agricultural community.
Right.
We've got to bring in farmers. We've got to show people that might not think classical music applies to them that, boy, this is powerful stuff. So they're going to come that weekend, and they kick off at the farmer's market at 10:30?
Yeah, about 10 to 11:30, they will be performing at the farmer's market and talking with people.
And that's the 14th?
And that is Saturday the 14th.
Uh-huh.
That's right. And then in the afternoon, they're doing two workshops. One is called Curriculum Integration on Stage and in the Classroom. One of the fields that's really expanding for our students and for young musicians, for all musicians, is educational programming.
Mm-hmm.
Not only educational programs that are about music, but that use music to help teach other aspects of the curriculum. So this kind of curriculum integration is a really big field, and Fifth House are experts in that. And so many of our students are just really excited about seeing what they do. And then we'll have a break, and then they're going to actually teach to the participants in the workshop how to do one of these programs, which is called Music Can Tell a Story.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got 12 students signed up for that who are then going to learn that program and practice it and perform it with Fifth House in local schools when Fifth House is back in November. And then we're going to have other people who come to observe and just see how that process works.
Right, so Fifth House is with us throughout the year, but in this first one, they started at the farmer's market, then they do this first workshop, then they have another one after that, correct?
Right, well, we have two workshops on Saturday afternoon.
Right, back to back.
Right, and then from 5 to 6:30, they'll be at Starbucks.
At Starbucks. Now, there's a place for classical music.
Everybody knows
the Starbucks Concert Hall.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's really interesting because there's this whole movement called Classical Revolution that started in San Francisco, where classical musicians are playing in coffee houses and bars and restaurants, and it's just really taking off. We started having some concerts this summer under the Classical Revolution moniker at Starbucks. The Greencastle Starbucks probably has more square feet for seating area than any Starbucks ever seen because it's connected with the Eli's Books, which is the DePauw bookstore, and there's a large mezzanine area where you can get almost 50 people in there.
Right.
So, they're going to be performing some, but we're also inviting everybody from the community to come in and meet them and fill out a card talking about what's the most beautiful place in Putnam County for them.
Right. So if you bring us a card that says what you think the most beautiful place in Putnam County is, you drop it in a box, we'll give you a free cup of Starbucks coffee.
That's right.
You can't, I mean, man, I'm going to be there. I'm filling out that card.
Yeah, me too. That's going to be great. And that's going to lay the groundwork for them to start making connections with storytellers and learning about the history of Putnam County. And as we go through this process, we keep finding, you know, exciting things like the DePauw University Archives has all these historic photographs of Putnam County. Mm-hmm. And Cindy O'Dell in the art department has her students pick some of these photographs and they go find
that
same
spot
place.
Today. Documentary photography. Those guys
Absolutely.
Are going to be doing great stuff for us. And so Fifth House is going to be here throughout the year. The first weekend is September 14th. They'll start at the farmer's market that morning, which is a great place to reach out. And they're going to end their visit at Starbucks that evening. This is our opportunity and our effort to reach into the community and say, classical music has meaning to you. We want to pay tribute to the heritage and the heroes of Putnam County. It's going to culminate in a big Mother's Day event that we'll tell you about throughout the season here on Music for Life. This is an exciting weekend, and we're glad that Professor Edberg dropped by to tell us about it. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
headliner for this year's guest artist series is Bobby McFerrin. Now, Bobby McFerrin, for people of a certain generation, is best known for Don't Worry, Be Happy, which was this silly little ditty he wrote in the mid-80s that took the world by storm and surprised, I think, even Bobby with its success because it was such a simple, the title aptly fit, Don't Worry, Be Happy. But the truth is, this man is a remarkable musician in so many different ways. If you go to our website and you click on our advertisement for him, you'll see an example of him doing what he really does best, which is there he's doing Sweet Home Chicago, the big band tune, and he does all the parts by himself, just a single man. He's got the bass line going, he's got the percussion section going, he plays, sings the horn lines and the melody, all just one man makes it happen, and he does it by making you finish things for him. He'll get to the bass line going, you'll hear it in your head, and then he'll go off and sing the melody. It's really remarkable. What he's doing with us for this tour is called Spiritual. And Spiritual is really a tribute to his own father, who was a singer and who loved the American spiritual. And so he's bringing in a band, backup singers, and he's doing a tribute to the American spiritual. So this is something that everyone can love. The talent on display, the virtuosity on display is unbelievable. But the music that he's chosen to bring. Now, this is a man who has been a conductor. He's been a singer. He often has done both simultaneously. He does this really great thing where he conducts Mozart and then he sings the melodic lines. So he might do the clarinet concerto, but he's the clarinet, or he might do the flute concerto, but he's the flute. And it's really remarkable to hear him do this. He's a gifted conductor. He's a remarkable pianist. He's a great singer. But for us, he's bringing this list of spirituals. It's something not to be missed. It has sold out all over the country. It's been on tour for, by the time it gets to us, it will have been on tour for over a year and has wowed audiences and critics around the country and around the world. Here in Greencastle on Tax Day, Don't Worry, Be Happy, on Tax Day, April 15th, it's a concert you won't want to miss. We hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of Music for Life. We love hearing from listeners. You can contact us by emailing musicforlife@depaul.edu. Our student producers are Anna Gadula, Matt Skiba, Katie Sherman, and Burke Stanton. Our online editor is Veronica Petrel, and our show is produced and recorded by Matthew Champagne in the Judson and Joyce Green Center for the Performing Arts at DePaul University in Greencastle, Indiana. I'm Mark McCoy, Dean of the School of Music. Thanks for listening to our show. Keep music in your life, and have a great week.
It's Music for Life.